The mom and dad don't want her because she's a girl. And then she said, why you girl so beautiful? Why don't you want your girl?
Hello and welcome to Holding Heritage. This is a space to explore and have honest conversations around the Asian North American experience. We'll focus on Canadian refugee stories, family, heritage, and bridging generational gaps. My name is Holly. Thank you so much for joining me. Hello and happy Mother's Day here in North America, a day to show extra love to all the beautiful, strong, and influential women, mothers, and mother-like figures in our lives. In today's episode, I will be introducing you to my mom and sharing with you a conversation I had with her where I was able to dive a bit deeper into some of her childhood memories and experiences. She told me some amazing stories about my grandmother and my great-grandmother as well that I'd never heard before, so please stay tuned. Before we begin, I'd like to acknowledge specifically all the refugee and immigrant mothers, grandmothers, and great-grandmothers out there, many of whom have sacrificed so much for our generation to be able to have the opportunities, educations, lifestyles, knowledge, and voices that many of us have today. It's extremely common to hear stories of them working countless hours in multiple labor-intensive jobs, having the courage to start their own businesses in new countries and languages, and working incredibly hard with little to no formal education. All of this so that they could provide a better life for their children and future generations. They are the backbones to our families, the foundation of our security, and oftentimes the strongest, most resilient, and inspiring women we have in our lives to look up to. So this is a reminder to show them love and gratitude, not only today, but every day. So without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Let me set the scene for you. It's a sunny Thursday afternoon. My mom had just spent the morning baking fresh Chinese pineapple buns. The house is flooded with the smell of freshly baked bread and sweet sugar, and we're sitting comfy on the bed in my room, the window to my left pouring in with warm sunlight. And my mom begins to tell me about the day she was born.
The day I was born, my mom said she was in labor. Like, I was delivered right before the bombing. After I deliver for a few hours, I need to go down to the security. What do you call that?
Like a bomb shelter.
Yeah, bomb shelter.
Oh, wow. Mm.
So that is how my mom remembered me. So she never forget my birthday, I guess.
This is my mom. Her name is Fong Li. P-H-U-O-N-G. Last name, L-Y. She is a 4'11" firecracker. She's known in the family to be the quote-unquote loudest and most vibrant. She's also got an incredibly creative, entrepreneurial, and go-getter mindset that I think I've inherited much of. She loves to cook and learn new things, and she is definitely an incredible example of strength and resilience for me. My mom was born on June 1st, 1967, in a small town just outside of Hanoi while my grandma was on a business trip. She was my grandma's third child at the time with an older brother and sister. Let me give you some quick history context here. In North Vietnam, between March 1965 and October 1968, an American bombing campaign codenamed Operation Rolling Thunder was in effect. This is when U.S. military aircrafts were attacking various targets throughout North Vietnam. So at the end of 1967, it's estimated that almost 28,000 military and 48,000 civilians were killed and wounded due to this operation. So this is the year my mom was born into. I picture my grandma having just given birth to her third child while away on a trip, and only hours after having to retreat to an underground bomb shelter for safety. I'm in awe of her strength and courage, and I'm so thankful my mom's family survived and persevered. Okay, so back to my mom. She and her siblings grew up in Hanoi and were mostly taken care of by my great-grandmother, Po Ju, while my grandma, Po Po, worked multiple different jobs to support and provide for the family.
Anyway, but Po Po said, when I was born, we got to go right down to the Ham. It's called Ham Tang Se. Her friend is a doctor. I meet my doctor too. I went to Saigon and stayed in my doctor's house.
Saigon is now known as Ho Chi Minh City. My mom reflects on the memory of going to Saigon when she was a kid with her older sister and staying with my grandma's friend, who was the midwife who helped give birth to my mom.
I think she's not a doctor, but she's a midwife. She's a midwife. I was a little girl.
Why did you guys go there?
I don't know why I go there. I just want to go with my mom. She's working, right? She's go there and work. I don't know. She sells stuff. So she bring those stuff to sell, like Angelica, medicine, all medicine. But anyway, so I remember stay in the hotel, but the hotel was taken over by all this cop, the police, the Vietnamese police. Because we know Vietnamese police. So we actually live in the hotel where the police is, and Popo's friend is police. So I remember a very handsome guy, like all guys, like all we wear in belt and guns and hats and, you know.
Is that how old are you?
When I was
like eight.
Yeah, like eight. We looked down from the hotel. We looked down Saigon, like Chalon.
Chalon is a neighborhood in Saigon, a.k.a. Ho Chi Minh City.
Holy food and... we like to drink the sugar cane drink, that, and then also eat the sour, like apple. It's called gao. And then they score in a really nice flour and put it in the salt water. We love that, right? Me and Dai love that.
My Dai is my mom's oldest sister.
In my doctor's, the husband is a doctor, sorry. Mm. She's a midwife. So we went to Bazia. We remember living in her house, and she have so many girls. She have all girls. We lived there for maybe a few days, I think, because Popo went somewhere and me and Dai was there. And then I remember we went to a community hall. I go up there and sing.
What did you sing?
And I do dancing because I sing the song is a communist song because usually the soldier come in and, you know. Like, so I sing the communist. I still remember the song now. And I
was, you sing it for me?
Yeah, I've seen like, so I wear the hat and then do the ponytail both sides like this, wear the hat, so it's like a soldier, right? So I say, like how it goes. So it's talking about soldier that they come to town and they make the town pretty and then they fight for, and then I'm doing the action. I was on stage. I was looking
was
down.
It just for fun?
No, this is a community. I don't know what it is. You know, I think the doctor and the midwife have created the community and they have gather these people. Anyway, I was a communist girl, but I'm Chinese. Well, but anyway, it was fun.
She told me about one of her favorite childhood homes growing up in Hanoi. It's really neat because the building is still there today, and even one of the families that helped sponsor my mom's family to Canada was able to visit on a trip to Vietnam a few years ago.
I remember lots of things. So I live in the house, the first house with Poju.
In Hanoi?
Yeah, when I can remember. And I remember that one because I have severe fever, because I've been eating so much of persimmon fruit that I ate so much and I got sick. And then when we moved to the other house, it was in the long hall, it was at the back, but it was three-story.
Wow.
I love that house because then we have upstairs so we can see the moon and star. So that's why I remember most Poju when the moon festival, she will buy everything and we all go up and watch the moon on Moon Festival.
Like a rooftop or something?
Yeah, a rooftop. Mm. But a rooftop that we can sit in. So it's like another, like, sân thượng. So then we go up there and we put our clothes up there and do, would you like to do the lap chung and lap app, right? And then below it will be a kitchen. And then the kitchen, you have window like this and with that, those metal rod, the swirly, those old day they have. I like that. And then we go down. And then there's a lady that lived down there. Boy, you know, she never smiled or anything. And then the first, when we come into the houses, there's Vietnamese people live there. And I know this guy, he's such a beautiful guitar player.
Oh.
He plays guitar. And I thought his house the coolest thing because all the people are teenagers. Oh, man, they're cool. And she crocheting every day. I don't know. but they are so talented. I thought they're so talented. So that's why we learned to crochet from her. And Taiyi loves that.
Yeah.
And we did some of that. But it's such a nice, cool house. And then the storefront is the coloring of material. What do you dye shop?
For fabric.
Yes, for fabric, the dye shop. So every night people line up there. And then there's one, so three people in the complex, like a townhouse, I guess. And that house, Popo makes so much of the Bak Fong Yun.
My grandma and grandpa ran a business centered around pharmaceuticals and medicine. This particular medicine that my mom is talking about was one made for women. It helped with menstrual cramps and symptoms, and it was a sort of compact medicine shaped into a little ball that women would eat. It had a really sweet taste, and according to my mom, was very effective and super popular.
Like powder.
Powder, but it makes with honey and medicine, and it's very sweet. It's like a power ball. You just chew it.
I also chatted with her about some memories she has of my grandma, Popo, and a little bit about what she was like back then when my mom was a kid.
And then I remember Popo always had party.
Really?
Dancing.
She would like in your dance. House?
Yeah. Because the house have... So she would have music and her friend would come dancing. And every time her friend would come dancing, I always want to go in there, but she always threw me away. Yeah, she would dress so proper. When she go out, she have lipstick and very proper clothes. You know, Gong-Gong was there, but I think Gong-Gong was not home most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see my dad a lot, but I know him come. But I know my mom enjoy herself and her friend and everything. But yeah, so that house, we did a lot of things. Oh, I remember, my God. I sneak money out Popo's drawer.
What?
Go buy Yao Zha Guai with my friend.
Yao Zha Guai are Chinese donuts. One of my mom's favorite snacks, even today.
My friend, Lin, her name is Lin. She's living in Calgary now. Her family sell Yao Zha Guai. And I would go and buy it. And she snatched some money from her father too. Because we always go out to eat, sneak outside, go out to eat sweet, like red bean soup with ice in the summer. Or ice cream
I see.
With lime. Oh, that is it. It was so good. Little cup like this, just like a little cup, just like the drinking tea or sake cup. And you just...
Did Papa ever catch you stealing money?
No, she never catch me. That's the thing.
She probably knew, though.
I don't know if my sister do that. But I did that.
A lot?
I did that quite a bit, actually. I don't know. I never asked her. She got so much money. She just put the money there. I don't know if she got much money or not, but I know the money. I don't know if she got money. But anyway, this is...
She also shared with me how close and important my papa and great-grandma, Po Ju, were to each other.
My mom, I remember my mom is a business lady. She looked great all the time. I love her hair. And she just put us into a lot of things that school, I think, is very important. She put us in school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My grandma is the cook at home, so we always have food. I think because my grandma only have my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she have five kids, but I'll end up with her. So all her life, she lived with Papa, and she looked after us five kids. I see my mom, but my mom is not like feeding me or you know, things like that.
Because she was always working, right?
Yeah, she was working. But and then she will make... I remember every time report call comes, like, we'll sit down and talk about this and take your hand out and you hit. And then my sister always do well.
Always How did do you well. Do?
My middle. Yeah. I don't do too bad. I don't do well. But I'm okay. I think Popo is... She's very capable. She know a lot of people. We get meat to eat. We know the butcher. We even know the farmer of the butcher. She'll buy the best apple for my ye-ye, mm-hmm. her father-in-law. The red and delicious apple from China at that time. Not many people can afford. He trusts her so much. Even not Chut Gong Gong, but trust her. Give her the money. Give everything back. The freshest seafood. I would say she have lots of friends and she's a good person.
Mm.
Yeah, I think my mom is good person. For Jutu, she's such a hard worker. I think she dedicated all her life to my mom. Mm. She did, and to us.
So my mom and her family fled Vietnam mid to late 1979. And at this time, my mom was 13 years old. So it was her alongside her three sisters and one brother, my grandma, Papa, my great-grandma, Po Ju, and my grandpa, Gong Gong. For context here, about 2 years before my mom's family fled Vietnam, the Chinese government issued their family a sort of certificate slash notice that essentially said that since they were of Chinese heritage, the Chinese government would be willing to help them relocate to China. That included moving their furniture and assets. My mom's family declined this for multiple reasons, one being that they didn't want to live in China because they loved their life in Vietnam, their neighborhood, and their community. So fast forward to when they had to flee because it wasn't safe for them to live there anymore, they fled in hopes of being sponsored to a freedom country. My mom's family's boat journey was excruciatingly long. It was full of a lot of hardships, multiple boats, challenges, near-death incidences, and much more, which we won't get into this episode. But the point is that since the first part of their boat journey, which was from Vietnam to docking in China, was so horrible, once they got there, they actually decided to stay because the fear of continuing on was so terrifying.
That's why when we go in China, Poju say, I'm not going anymore, because after the 1 month sinking boat, quicksand, and then going to a fog for 3 days, Wow. Drifting, she said, I'm not going. And then so Papa to make the decision, she said, you want to go, you go, Gong Gong. I stay with my mom. Oh. And then Gong Gong said, okay, then we all stay. So we sell everything, then we go to China camp. That's why we go to China camp, because we already said no more of this. We are so afraid of, like, what happened? We already buy two boats already. We're dying. Like, there's no captain. We don't, can't do this anymore. So then we just say, okay, we go live China then.
So how did you...
So we kind of regret that when we had the paper and they say, I'll move your furniture too and travel by train to China, we didn't accept.
Mm.
So now, 2 years later, we say, shit, we should accept. Now we have nothing. We have nothing in the camp. Nothing. We have nothing. The camp people wipe their bum with stick. You know what that is? There is nothing in the camp. Every day, travel 2 miles, Khao Phu, and ask to get food to eat.
Wow.
In a rainy day.
You know, what was the transition then?
So transition is... We stay there for a few months and Gong Gong says, shit, this is no life. And we asked around everybody there. Some people stay there 3 years. Huh? 3 years you don't get assigned to go to a place, because that time is capacity is so much already. Before they have a place for you to live and go, you know, because they accept you as Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
But after, it's just like same Hong Kong. They threat up because the people go there, they're lazy, they don't work, and the native hate them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they get stuck in China camp. We live in this little camp, same family, all girl. I think they have 5 girls, more than us. Live there for 2 or 3 years. And Gong Gong say, no, that's it. We have to go again. So we connect with Popo's Scott's sister.
Uh-huh.
Which is Po Ju's daughter.
Here we go into a little bit of a side story about my great-grandma, Po Ju, and her goddaughter. This was one of the first times that I had heard more detail about her.
Real daughter?
No, it's a daughter. Because when she was born, Po Ju had Papa, and then the mom and dad don't want her because she's a girl. So then she was friend then, and she said, why you girl so beautiful? Why don't you want your girl? I want it. So mm-hmm. She come live with her until she's about 3 years old. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Stupid. And then she, when her mom, I know, when her mom and dad go back to China, when in 1945, when either you go to China or you go to Saigon, right? Popo said, do you want your girl? I mean, you want your girl back? And she's, beautiful. She's beautiful. So they take her back China. So that is like, I remember when we in Vietnam, she write to Boju and say, thank you so much for raising her and to become a young girl. You know, she's so beautiful. I don't know why. The wonder daughter. And even like...
My mom and I shared a little cry over this memory. We've all heard about the countless stories in Asia of families abandoning their baby girls, especially back in the days of my great-grandma when it was extremely common practice. It really, really hits me in the gut, not only because I'm also a girl, but because my mom's side of the family is built of incredibly talented, intelligent, capable, and strong women, all of whom were raised by my great-grandma. So, although she passed away when I was still just a baby, I picture her as this young woman after having already lost 4 out of her own 5 children, taking in this baby girl, raising her, loving her, and returning her back to her thankful birth parents years later. I think about the amount of resilience and the tremendous capacity of love and care that she carried as a woman, and also just how much I really wish I was able to personally know her and thank her today.
If you have a girl in your house, it's like, because they say, oh, girl will bring shame, and then when they marry, you're afraid that they don't marry good. Or when girl marry, they need to give money to the boy's family, not the other way around. So anyway... Yeah, so she used to, I remember in Vietnam, she sent picture all the time back and forth and say, oh, how's her life in China with her real mom and dad? They are very wealthy now. She's very well educated. But anyway, she married and her husband is a teacher and she got kids. And even when we come to Canada, we still connect.
That's good.
But yeah, when Puju died, she knows. Yeah, she wrote letters. Yeah, I think we still have her picture as well, too.
All right, so back to my mom's family deciding to leave the holding camp in China.
Yeah, we gotta go, so we go to Bak Hoi. Yeah, can go first and make the connection, and then we find the boat, and then we all go down. Then we stay at Papa's Scott's sister house for a couple of days. Because Chinese, they do not allow you to go anywhere. Like, even you have money, you cannot say, I gotta go live there. You need to sit there and wait. So then they assign you a place to live. It's not like here, you go live anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why the reason we don't go to our relative, because that's not how it works. I don't know how Papa get money again to pay. So this time we say, we make sure we get a boat that is not a sailboat.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter, big or not a sailboat. So then, yeah, so we get this one. It's not a sailboat. It's a steel boat. So, yeah, that's what that we all go there and go. We never want to stay in China. Mm-hmm. Never. Never. Even though we don't even know what's in Hong Kong. But
how did you talk Poju into wanting to go again? Because she didn't want to go again, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how my dad talked her into it. But I think because there's the horrible condition living there, that's why Poju want to go to.
Mm.
I think it's just like when they calm down for a few months, and then it's really like, hey, in Vietnam, I don't live like this. This is my future going to be like this. So I think Poju think about our future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why there's hope. We hope. We don't know what's in Hong Kong, but Hong Kong is a freedom country. We go to Hong Kong. We want to have a better life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why we go again. Yeah. So I think my mom is just a very capable woman.
So that is the short version of how my mom's family made the transition out of the holding camp in China to continue to Hong Kong in hopes of finding the freedom that they set out to. This last section of the episode is a moment with my mom that quite honestly floored me. To give a bit of context, both of my parents' families were refugee boat people. So growing up, I had only ever really heard bits and pieces of both stories. And it's only now that I'm older that I'm beginning to understand and kind of piece together how truly unique and extremely personal and emotional these experiences are, and how with them comes heaps and heaps of potential unexpressed trauma. And we all know very well that many of these stories and feelings, especially in Asian households, are rarely ever expressed. So I had always kind of sensed a sort of tension between my parents when we got to talking about their stories. Sometimes I felt a sort of comparative type vibe, like who struggled more or whose trip was harder or longer, et cetera, et cetera. This moment that you're going to hear is a moment that really opened up my eyes to the type of healing and potential understanding that sharing these stories can foster. The basics that you need to know before listening is, in the case of my dad's journey, my grandpa, his father, was imprisoned by the Vietnamese government because he was Chinese, and he was not released in time to flee with the rest of the family, so this left my dad's family in the position of having to leave him behind. And of course, they had no idea if they would ever see him again.
That's why I say I never feel sadness, because I know that when I say that, maybe the other day I was thinking, I said, oh, I shouldn't say that in front of Dad. But now I understand. I understand him, because when I go, even I go through hell, I don't feel an ounce of unhappiness, because I know I don't feel missing nobody. My dad's there, my mom's there, my grandma's there, my whole family, my sister and brother there. Mm-hmm. That's why I never feel any unhappiness. I'm sure all of us too. So I can relate how Dad feels. Because in the beginning, I just have to say, oh, our trip is horrible. Like, we're almost dying. Like, I'm telling you, the horror in the trip is very horrible. Like, it's so scary that Popo don't even want to, like, last time Saeed was awarded a cruise ship, she said, why do I want to go? I don't want to go. I don't want to look at the sea again, because this brings back horror memory. But anyway, I have to say, yeah, okay, your dad, yes, it's very sad for him to leave his dad behind. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I understand that. Actually, I didn't understand. Then, because I don't feel the sadness, but the other day I suddenly feel, and I feel that's why when I tell him about my story, he doesn't feel strongly about that. But I'm sorry, I didn't feel that from him. I didn't tell him yet, but I felt that, yes, if my dad and mom, like if my mom was in jail and she weren't able to get out, I can relate to him now that, yes, how he feel. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry for being that, but I was so caught up with my own, and I just thought, because his trip is so smooth when he tell me his trip, like he even have extra food, you know, and we don't have food, and that's the difference between his trip and my trip. Mm-hmm. My trip was so long, like, that's not even the whole story. How you live in the island and how you live in Pig Pen. I'm sorry that I don't have that missing of a loved one. But mm-hmm. I have other things, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll tell him when I tell. But anyway.
Okay, so this is where I will end today's episode. If you have made it this far, thank you so much for listening. I hope that this encourages you to go talk to your mom today if you can, maybe your grandparents, aunts, friends, and beyond. I hope it has also shed a bit of light on how many of us 1.5 plus generation Asian children are in such a unique and powerful spot where we can facilitate these types of healing conversations and expressions. I truly, truly believe that there's so much value for ourselves, our parents, our families, our heritage, everything that can come from taking the time to just be there and be open to this type of connection. So again, happy Mother's Day. Please check out holdingheritage.com for today's show notes, and I can't wait to meet you back here again very, very soon. Bye-bye. Music by Blue Wednesday Beats. Be sure to check them out. And Holding Heritage is proudly created, produced, and geographically based on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Tsleil-Waututh and Comox Nations of the Coast Salish peoples.